If you are a subscriber to the Level Paths podcast, or if you minister in any capacity in the Appalachian region, you don't want to miss the Appalachian Ministry Conference at Tri-State Bible College, April 22nd and 23rd. This year's conference is a two-day event. The pre-conference starts on Monday, April 22nd at 6 p.m. with Dr. Andrea Clements and Tanner Clements from Uplift Appalachia. The evening will focus on equipping churches and faith-based organizations to serve as the tip of the spear, bringing solutions to the addiction and mental health challenges in Appalachia. Then, on Tuesday, April 23rd, author, church planter, pastor, and keynote speaker Dave Early kicks off day two of the conference, along with storyteller Tommy Reed, special sessions with Dr. Kevin Yingling, and music from Chosen Road. You can also choose from 16 breakout sessions that cover topics like church planting, engaging the next generation, leading the church from the pulpit, ministering with the Bible as your playbook, measuring leadership success with a plan, and much more. For more information and to register for the Appalachian Ministry Conference at Tri-State Bible College, April 22nd and 23rd, visit tsbc.edu.
I think that there are times and opportunities where we can bring in horticultural experiences and bringing people into a garden and just digging in the soil or doing types of activities that can allow them to experience what God has created.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. We've heard it said that you have to get your hands dirty when it comes to effective ministry. Well, on this Level Paths podcast, getting your hands dirty isn't just a metaphor. Marquita Riepenhoff is a master gardener, and she has combined her love for gardening with therapeutic horticulture. So how does a green thumb combine her work with ministry? Here's Rex.
Welcome back to the Level Paths podcast. My name is Rex Howe. I serve as the president of Tri-State Bible College, and I'm with the co-founder of the Appalachian Ministry Institute. Dr. Matt Shamblin serves as our Appalachian Research Fellow. We are headed toward April, which means our third annual Appalachian Ministry Conference will soon be here, and the registrations are coming in, Matt. It's an exciting time at Tri-State Bible College.
It's exciting. It's hard to believe that this is our third Appalachian Ministry Conference. I think this looks to be the best conference we've had so far. We were able to work out some bugs in the past and take the best of what we've done in the past and put this together. It's almost like a big family reunion just to get everybody together. And it's exciting what God is doing across Appalachia. We're going to hear more about that today. You know, that's been part of what we've tried to do here with our podcast, is really just to highlight what God's doing across our region. It's exciting. It's exciting as everything comes together, as all pieces come together.
We have one of our soon-to-be guests at the Appalachian Ministry Conference. She will be leading one of our breakout sessions entitled Counseling with the Soil of Appalachia. Marquita Riepenhoff is, she's my sister in Christ. We go to church together in Wheelersburg, Ohio. She's an ACBC counselor in training. She's been going through their counseling and discipleship training. She's also a master gardener. She did some training with Ohio State University's Extension in Souda County. She's completed several hours of work in master gardening. She's also studied therapeutic horticulture, where you can kind of see these things start to come together, gardening and counseling. She's done some work with North Carolina State University. She's also trained locally, Shawnee State University. She has her Bachelor of Science in Business Administration and Healthcare Management. And she's done some other studies also. It's a little bit at Liberty University, Matt. You might be interested in that. She's also been on past boards in our community here in Southern Ohio. Marquita, we're just so, so pleased to have you with us here on the Level Paths podcast, but also very exciting to think about your session at the conference.
Well, I am very excited to be able to come and share about master gardening and counseling and what God's doing in my life and in giving me an opportunity to bring these together and serve him and to touch people's lives.
Well, we want to learn a little bit more about you. I know we introduced some of your education and some of your professional experiences, and now with the gardening and the counseling, but tell us a little bit about growing up. Where did you grow up? What was growing up like for you?
I grew up in Portsmouth. I've always lived in Scioto County. I grew up in church. My family, I have an uncle that was a missionary in Africa for years and years. And my grandfather also pastored country churches. And my dad was an ordained minister. So I always laughed and said I felt like that I was born on the church pew. Church and serving the Lord was just part of our family. And we also did gardening. We had a garden in the backyard, and my grandparents gardened, and my father's parents lived in Kentucky. So we spent time there. They had a large farm, and that was all real special to me. In school, I was mostly interested more music. I did some sports, but music was also very big part of our family.
You know, Matt, I don't know if this was true for you or not, if you grew up with gardens and farms, but my family always had a garden when I grew up, and my grandparents always, they even rented a little property and did some gardening. What about you, Matt? Did you grow up with gardening?
My branch of our family is the only branch that didn't have a farm growing up. And so that meant in the summertime, we were free farm hands. So the three of us boys were sent to my grandparents' house, and they always had a very, very large garden. And there's a reason for that. Growing up in the hills of West Virginia, there was also a root cellar. And so the cellar was the place where all the items were gathered out of the garden and then whatever way preserved and put in the root cellar. That's what you ate for the rest of the year. It was a wonderful time. It was really a really neat time. You know, it was told to go out into the garden and do this or do that or whatever from the youngest age. I've had one successful garden in my life that has started with me. And from thereafter, it's been downhill. So somewhere the road has diverged. And I think it's diverged and ran over the hill and then caught on fire and burned. I'm not a great gardener, but I do look forward to seeing this conversation. Marquita, maybe you can tell us, how do you bring gardening and biblical counseling together? How are those interconnected?
As I sat through the counseling training and learning about all of the ways that we can reach out and touch lives with God's word, and especially in the discipleship training piece of it, I had taken the first class in biblical counseling. And then that summer was when I was told that we were going to have a Master Gardener volunteer program in Scioto County, which I guess they hadn't had one in like 15 to 20 years. So Pike and Scioto counties came together. And I signed up and took, it was 50 hours of classroom work, and we did it in a month and a half. And that was in October into the beginning of November. Then the following January, I started back in biblical counseling again. But the very last chapter in our manual, and we did not cover it, we read it, but we didn't have anybody teach it, was on therapeutic horticulture. And I read it and I thought, wow, that's fascinating, you know, how we can use horticulture to reach out and touch people with disabilities or, you know, just all age groups. And so I had the biblical counseling in January, and I'm working on my volunteer hours. And then in the summer, we did a special project with raised beds with a church that had a summer camp program. It was like a daycare for morning program for children that were in foster care. So there were five of us master gardeners, and we worked with the children, and we did this raised bed. And I kept thinking, oh, there's more here that we need to be doing. Just teaching them how to garden. I mean, we knew that there were some of them that had things in their past background that were just grabbed my heart, you know. And so I kept thinking about, wouldn't this be so neat to be able to bring together counseling and gardening? And I started doing a lot of research and found this program out of North Carolina. It's been awesome. It's 4 classes, and I've just finished the second class today, actually. Took my exam this morning. As I sat through it, I kept thinking, we just need to be, not for everybody, I'm not talking about replacing the counseling room. I don't mean that at all. But I think that there are times and opportunities where we can bring in horticultural experiences. And so much that I've learned that's been, you know, scientifically based, of course, because it's all the universities. But bringing people into a garden and just digging in the soil or doing types of activities that can allow them to experience what God has created. And for many years, we went to First Baptist Russell in Kentucky, and Pastor Ken Gallen, and he's awesome. And one message, it's been quite a few years ago, he was preaching and he goes, and God confirms. Well, I wrote that in my Bible, you know. And as I have been going through all of this, it just seems like the doors just keep opening. And I was looking for a book that Dr. Hodges through ACBC, he always speaks at Wheelersburg, and I went down, it's always online, but I went down this year to hear him speak again. And he mentioned a couple of books, and I went online to order them, and I saw this book that popped up, and it is by Julie Lowe, and it's Building Bridges, Biblical Counseling Activities for Children and Teens. I thought, whoa, that's interesting. So I ordered it, and it came in, and I'm just flipping through it. And she's talking about using different types of like play therapy and music therapy. And on the list was horticultural therapy. And I thought, yes, this is awesome. And she points out exactly what I had been thinking as I was listening, you know, and going through the first 2 classes. But she points out that therapeutic horticulture can tap into a truth that creation offers something healing and reorienting in our lives, and how it takes us back to our Creator and to a God that's bigger than ourselves and our struggles, and how that it doesn't, of course, replace counseling, by biblical counseling by any means, but that we can take it and use it to show people. And my background is in career technical education. I retired now, but I was the director of post-secondary education. So if it's hands-on, I'm all about it. And when I was reading through some of what she wrote, you know, she said that we can take this and reclaim, take it away from the secular world, you know, and all of the therapies, and we can reclaim what is biblical and life-giving about our experience with nature. She said it perfectly for what's been in my heart and on my mind, and being able to just take this and touch lives. And for many people, when you can actually see it and touch it and do it, you can bring in biblical principles to all of the gardening processes. And so I'm excited about it. I don't know what God's going to do with all of this, but I'm ready.
Well, you know, as I listen to you talk, you continue to expand on your education. My first thought, is there anything that you've not received education in? I mean, you've got such a broad education, and that's exciting, but it's also exciting to hear the continued development and the continued learning. How did you get started in biblical counseling?
One day, my husband told me, he said, you can retire. It's time. And I said, oh, no, I can't retire. I'm not ready to retire. He goes, yes, you can. And it's time. And it took me 6 months praying about it, driving to the Scioto County Career Technical Center. Many, many years before when I had interviewed and I had had the interview and I was going down the road and there's this gate kind of at the end of Fernreich Drive. And when I went through it, I said, Lord, if this is not the place for me, close the gate. So one morning after about 6 months, I'm driving to work and it's 6:45 in the morning. And I go through that same gate and that still small voice says, now the gate's closed. I went, oh, with tears. The next day, I gave them a 6 month, you know, retirement so we could get everything taken care of, and I retired. Well, before that had happened, I do the 1 year Bible. On September the 26th of 2018, I was reading in Isaiah, and a verse that I had read and read and read jumped off the page, and it was Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me with an understanding of his will. I stopped and I paused and I thought, I've read and read that verse, but it jumped off the page. That was the beginning. The retirement comes and I'm like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Well, guess what? COVID hits. I'm going, okay, so what do I do now? And they that wait upon the Lord, right, renew their strength. And so I just watch as God brings all these things together. And we had been going to First Baptist Russell, and we just, after we went through COVID, and we thought we need to be closer to home. So we come back to Wheelersburg Baptist, and then I get involved in the biblical counseling and the master gardening, and God just keeps opening the door. And I just get up every day and I go, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And what do you want me to do? And I've certainly learned that it's not like trying to plan it, because I had none of this plan. You know, I said, I want to glorify you with my life and I want to do what you want me to do. And then I think, too, another thing that happened, Dr. David Jeremiah, we'll listen to him a lot of times in the mornings. He was talking about retirement one day and he goes, it's called redeployment. So there I am.
You are, for sure. That's how biblical counseling came in. How does one become a master gardener?
It requires 50 hours of training. And we went through all aspects of horticulture. It was intense. It was awesome. You know, we had great instructors and extension agents that came in, and we learned all about soil and plants. And then our role as master gardeners, we're volunteers, is to go out and help in our community with projects, and also to answer people's questions and to be able to teach. That's exciting, coming out of career technical education. Anything we can do with our hands and hands-on learning. So I've had a lot of opportunities to teach. The first year, you have to have 50 hours of volunteer hours in that first year to actually become a true master gardener. It's just neat. You get to be with people and people who love gardening and the socialization part of it. And I enjoy it. Of course, we garden. We have a large garden and we always have. And I grew up gardening, and my husband, you know, we have a little on a small, we have about 18 acres, a small farm, and it's been hay and cattle and sheep and goats and 4-H and all those things. So it's my world.
You know, one of the greatest things about gardening is to grow a garden large enough to give things away. Isn't it incredible the bridges that it builds just when you have fresh produce to give those things away? I think that's the best part about having a garden is to be able to give things away to your neighbors, to your friends. So you're going to be one of our breakout speakers at the Appalachian Ministry Conference. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to talk about. Give us a little preview, gardening and biblical counseling.
Well, I will go through an introductory of what biblical counseling is, and then I will have an introduction of the master gardening and the therapeutic horticulture and how that will all tie together. And then I'm going to demonstrate a project of how to take a little gardening project and tie it all in to salvation and how God uses things in our lives and how failure is not fatal with God. When we're forgiven of our sins, how He can take our lives and grow beautiful flowers. And I'm very excited about that. It's a project that I have been able to demonstrate for master gardeners, but not putting all of the biblical pieces into it. But I think it'll be a great way for people to see how just little simple things can show people the Lord and His saving grace.
That's just exciting because I think that when we look in the scripture, the imagery, the setting is a very agrarian setting, and the imagery that the psalmist often refers to, the object lessons, if you will, that the Lord uses always are set not just in nature, but using nature to demonstrate and to explain biblical concepts. You know, oftentimes when you're going through difficult times, just a walk outside helps, and it pauses you for a moment to see creation and recognize that the sovereign Lord over all creation who brought it into being is the one who has numbered the hairs on your head. He's the one who values the sparrows. He's the one who has supplied your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And when we think about Appalachia, one of the qualities of Appalachians is a love of place. This incredible love of place. There is no place more beautiful than Appalachia in the fall. When the leaves are changed, you can't help but recognize the creativity of the Lord. Appalachians love place, but are often almost shamed into being ashamed of place, you know? And to hear this, Rex, I'm just thinking about this year's conference. So many elements of the conference this year are taking Appalachia as it is, whether it be with addictions, whether it be with the trauma impact, whether it be with gardening, and on we can go. And just using those elements in order to reach people with the gospel, and as we learn in biblical counseling, show that the scripture is sufficient. There's only been one perfect life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of His death, burial, and resurrection, the redemption, the regeneration that we experience in the heart enables us by the power of His Spirit to live a life that we could have never lived on our own. Marquita, it's been a joy to talk to you today, and I'm so excited to hear. My hope is that I'll be able to sneak off from one of the breakout sessions that I'm doing to be able to come hear you. If not, we're going to have to record this because I want to hear more.
Well, I have to add one more thing about the Bible and plants. In Jeremiah, there were the good figs and the bad figs. One day when I was reading about the good figs and the bad figs, and this has been a couple of years ago, the good figs went into captivity and the bad figs stayed to fight. And I learned to start, number one, eating figs because it reminded me that I wanted to be a good one. And when I get into situations, it's like, I go back to, okay, Lord, please help me be a good fig. You know, when we read through the Word, how many opportunities to see nature and how God has used them and Jesus used them throughout the New Testament. It's exciting.
When we think of therapeutic counseling, we might simply picture a typical office and a counselor with a notepad. But helping people can be more than that. Sometimes an out-of-the-box strategy, especially if it complements our gifts and talents and interests, can create a uniquely effective ministry. If you have a desire to minister to folks and you're considering a one-of-a-kind approach, meeting with Marquita might be a good idea. And you can do that at the Appalachian Ministry Conference, April 22nd and 23rd at Tri-State Bible College. Marquita and a long list of other breakout session hosts will be on hand to help you see the ways God can use you to minister in your part of Appalachia. Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource, and no matter what need you may have, Rex Howe and Dr. Matt Shamlin want you to reach out to them today. Rex Howe is the president of Tri-State Bible College, and you can contact him by email at rex.howe@tsbc.edu. And you can reach out to Dr. Matt Shamlin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email matt.shamlin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.